Hi, this is Father Ian Van Heusen here. What I want to do is I want to do a little bit of a commentary on St. John of the Cross. And what I'm thinking of doing in audio format and then eventually in written format is I want to highlight essential text. These are texts that I think are significant to the tradition, that are incredibly important, but also, like, sometimes it can be really intimidating to say, hey, I want you to sit down and read all of St. John of the Cross, or hey, I want you to go through all the exercises of St. Ignatius, or all of St. Thomas Aquinas. So what I'm thinking of doing is creating, like, important texts to pay attention to. So instead of reading all of St. John of the Cross, focusing on particular parts of St. John of the Cross. One in particular that I want to focus on is often a case. So in St. John of the Cross, so this is book 2, chapter 13 of the Ascent of Mount Carmel is what I want to talk about. So oftentimes in the spiritual life, there's a transition that's incredibly important. But there also, I think there's a broader principle that's tied with it. But the transition is when you've established a discipline of meditation. That is, you have a structure. You're walking through a daily meditation or Lectio Divina, or it could be even the rosary. And the Holy Spirit seems to prevent you from doing discursive meditation. Some people give up. Some people think that they're praying poorly. They often describe this as periods of great aridity or dryness. That's often the language that is used. But what St. John of the Cross points out, and this is a lesson that we all have to learn, is that oftentimes the Holy Spirit is leading us deeper into what's called contemplative prayer or infused contemplation, but also learning to be more receptive in prayer. Because what the Holy Spirit does is it prevents us from using discursive meditation. So we have to learn to rest with the Lord in a more intuitive way. So this is chapter 13, book 2, the Ascent of Mount Carmel. To avoid obscurity in this doctrine, it will be opportune to point out in this chapter when one ought to discontinue discursive meditation, work through images, forms, and figures, so that the practice will not be abandoned sooner or later than required by the Spirit. So the concern is that we would abandon discursive meditation too early, or that we'll keep trying to force discursive meditation. You can think of this as thinking, thoughts, images, words, using the imagination. At the proper time, one should abandon this imaginative meditation so that the journey to God may not be hindered, but so that there is no regression. One should not abandon it before the due time. For though the apprehensions of these faculties are not approximate means to union for proficients, they are remote means for beginners. So what does this mean? The working of the mind, the intellect, the concepts, the ideas, the use of our imagination, they don't lead us to union with God, but they can become a remote means for beginners. So we don't approach God through our imagination. We have to approach him, as one author puts it, through the cloud of unknowing. That is surrendering our intellect. By these sensitive means, beginners dispose their spirit and habituate it to spiritual things. And at the same time, they avoid their senses of all other base, temporal, secular, and natural forms and images. Hence, we will delineate some signs and indications by which one can judge whether it is the opportune time for the spiritual person to discontinue meditation. St. Thomas Aquinas also deals with this point, not necessarily the transition, but he talks about circular meditation. That is, we focus our mind within, and we focus it on God's presence within the heart. In the East, they call this the prayer of the heart. Now, for a little bit different for St. John of the Cross, he sees it as a progression from discursive meditation to this more circular contemplation, to use the language of St. Thomas Aquinas, where we're focused within. They also sometimes call it recollection, or the prayer of simplicity. There's different ways that this is described. But what I really want to highlight is these signs. And I want you to meditate on this the next time you're experiencing dryness. If you've been praying for a while, maybe you're going through this transition and you should be aware of it. So the first is the realization that one cannot make discursive meditation or receive satisfaction from it as before. Dryness is now the outcome of fixing the senses on subjects that formerly provided satisfaction. That is, when you pay attention to exterior things, even spiritual things, there is dryness, almost like a wall that's preventing you from taking relish in it or even being able to think about it at length. However, as long as one can make discursive meditation and draw out satisfaction, one must not abandon this method. Meditation must be discontinued only when the soul is placed in that peace and quietude to be spoken of in the third sign. So, you might want to do a little bit of examination of conscience when you're experiencing dryness. if you maybe focus less on thinking, but maybe you can use the Jesus prayer or just focus on your breathing. If you find greater peace in that, move with that a little bit. And we can talk about this more. It's a really long conversation. Definitely could be discussed for whole books, but we're just going to stick with the text and kind of continue. The second sign is awareness of a disinclination to fix the imagination or sense faculties on any other particular objects, exterior or interior. So what he means is using the imagination to look around or to focus on what you experience, or interior, that is more concepts and ideas. I'm not affirming that the imagination will cease to come and go. Even in deep recollection, it usually wanders freely, but that the person does not want to fix it purposely on extraneous things. So he's talking about, we don't want to be, we find no satisfaction in exerting our will and trying to force our imagination and our intellect, but we learn to be more receptive. The third and surest sign is that a person likes to remain alone in loving awareness of God without particular considerations, an interior peace and quiet and repose, without the acts and exercises, at least discursive, those in which one progresses from point to point. Now, I want to make a point right here real quick, and then I'm going to read back this sentence again. Aquinas calls this linear contemplation. We move from point to point. And he talks about moving from exterior, invisible realities to invisible realities. And there's kind of a progression in this. And so Aquinas technically kind of fleshes out more the different aspects of contemplation. But it's a good point to recognize that early on, our discursive meditation is linear, that we move from point to point, to use the language of Aquinas. Let me go back to the sentence. Loving awareness of God without particular considerations, an interior peace and quiet and repose, and without the acts and exercises of the intellect, memory, and will. Such a one prefers to remain only in the general loving awareness and knowledge we mentioned, without any particular knowledge or understanding. So again, using the words of Aquinas, we move from that linear to circular. We learn to focus on a single point, on a single idea, or just being with the Lord in a kind of singularity, a kind of narrowed focus. And this is my integration from experience and St. John of the Cross and St. Thomas Aquinas and other authors. So I'm not reading the text by itself, but reading it within the whole tradition. To leave safely the state of meditation and sense and enter that of contemplation and spirit, spiritual persons must observe within themselves at least these three signs together. So I'll leave you with that today. I hope this was fruitful for you. Next time you're experiencing dryness, maybe consider turning to like the Jesus prayer, what's called aspiration prayers, little short arrow prayers, as St. Augustine says, and just recollect yourself on the interiority of that single thought and see if you find peace in that. Now, again, if you can return to discursive meditation, do as St. John of the Cross directs, but consider that next time you experience dryness. Amen.